Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace, celebrating 20 years of discipling others through Charis Bible College worldwide. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing to teach it through the book of Philippians, talking about Paul's secrets to happiness. And I tell you, this has been a powerful teaching. I've identified 20 things that Paul said that I believe were secrets to his happiness. And so that's what we're talking about. And we've now been through, I've been through 11 of them. And we ended yesterday in Philippians chapter 3. And we read through verse 11, but basically I stopped on verse 10 talking about personal relationship with God, knowing God and the power of His resurrection. And that is so important. Again, I could speak on this forever. This is really everything I talk about is about knowing God, how to relate to God. And yesterday I was really emphasizing personal relationship with Him, not just following rules and regulations. There is a place for rules, having boundaries, guidelines and stuff. I'm not saying that we forsake all of those things, but I'm saying those things are not, they're poor comforters. You need a personal relationship with God. I've been through things that I guarantee you all of my theology and all of my rules and all of my regulations came up short. But I've never had the Lord disappoint me. God has ministered to me and helped me in times when I remember some times that I honestly told the Lord, I said, I don't think I can live through the night. I don't believe I can survive this. And man, the Holy Spirit's right there ministering to me and comforting me. I've been with many other people as they go through tragedy, and instead of just pulling out some, you know, promise out of the Bible and using it like a club, I ask the Lord for personal direction. And I mean the Lord is personal. He is a person. You can ask Him for an explanation, for understanding, and He will give it to you. And it's sad, but there are so many Christians that they don't have a personal relationship. There are people that go, I guess possibly their entire life without the Lord speaking to them personally and giving them specific instructions. You know, in my meetings, I often minister on how to find God's will and things like this. And I'll give an invitation and ask how many people, you know, you want to do what's right. You want to please God. You are praying that what you're doing is right, but you don't have any assurance that you're doing what God has told you to do. You've never had God just specifically show you what your purpose in life is. And I'll give an invitation, and it is not unusual to have at least 70, usually 80% or more of the Christians stand and say that they don't know for sure what they're doing is God's will. Boy, I just think that's tragic. When you have this personal relationship with God available, and it says that He will speak to you and say, this is the way, walk thou in it. That's part of what God promised us that He would do. And we have that available to us, and yet people are just going through life and they don't know for sure that they're even following God's plan for their life. That's tragic. That is not what it's supposed to be. You know, when I was 18 years old, just shortly after I'd had this miraculous encounter with the Lord, my mother signed me up to go on a trip with a group of Baptist young people to Bern, Switzerland. And we also toured Europe, and she sicked this Baptist pastor on me that tried for 3 weeks to talk me out of everything that had happened, tell me that everything I was experiencing was of the devil, and try and get me back to being normal. And anyway, part of that experience was we were in Rome, and I remember going through the catacombs in Rome, and it was amazing to me. I was looking at all of these things and seeing the persecution and the things that the Christian went through. We read stories about how that they were, you know, Christians were fed to the lions and crucified in the Colosseum and in the Circus Maximus in Rome. And we read all of these things. And I remember going through the catacombs, they had taken the bodies of many of the Christians who were martyred and they had buried them in the catacombs. Because if they buried their dead, you know, up on ground where most people were, the Romans would come and desecrate the Christian graves. So they would take their bodies down into these catacombs and they would bury them in these walls. And as you walked through the catacombs, you could see all of these burials, and they had made inscriptions and they had put plaques there and translated these inscriptions into different languages. And so as we were walking through the catacombs, I remember seeing some of those burial places, and I was standing there reading them, and one of them stood out to me. A man had written about his wife and two daughters, I think it was. He said, here lies, or maybe it was just one child, but anyways, it was his wife and a child. And he said, here lies my wife and 6-month-old daughter who gave their life today, and he gave the date, in the Circus Maximus for the glory of God. And the way that it was written, it just came across that instead of this being a tragic thing, this man was actually honored to be able to stay faithful to the Lord and give their life as a testimony and a witness to the Lord. And you know, I've since then read books, and I could give you literally dozens, maybe hundreds of examples of testimonies I've read that the Christians, when they were being martyred, they would literally push and shove and fight with each other to see who got to go out and die first. Because it was an honor. It was a privilege to be identified and to die for the one who had died for them. And I know that some of you right now are thinking, man, that's weird. I can't relate to that. That's because in the first century, it was all about relationship, not a doctrine, not a creed that was about how to get a bigger house, a bigger car, a bigger this, get these things. It wasn't about what you could get. It was all about personal relationship. And they had such a vibrant relationship with the Lord that people were actually joyful to give their lives for the one who had given their life for them. There are actually accounts that I read about people putting their, Nero putting his fingers in his ears and saying, why must these Christians sing as they die? And the Christians would have so much joy, they would worship God as they were burning at the stake. They would literally sharpen stakes and ram them up through a person and impale them and then burn them at the stake. And yet there was so much joy, and people were singing and glorifying God, that it is a historical fact that for every one Christian that died, up to 7 Romans would jump out of the stands and run out there to accept this person who was giving these people so much joy and peace, and they would immediately be martyred themselves. That's one of the reasons that the persecution ended, because it was having the opposite effect. People were seeing the glory of God on these people, and it was causing people to accept it. It was all about personal relationship. And yet Christianity spread like wildfire. Did you know that within 30 years of the death and resurrection of Jesus, basically the known world right there around the Mediterranean had been evangelized? Alexandria in Egypt was over 30% Christian within 30 years of the resurrection of Jesus. Christianity was taking over and spreading in, you know, percentage-wise, in a much greater degree than it is today. Today we've got television, we got radio, we got CDs, we got all the technology, we got the internet, we got all of these things, and yet Christianity actually spread more without all of these things. And some people will say, well, how did that happen? Because they had a personal relationship that was effective. Man, people are looking for this. People will lay down their life to know a person. And I guess there are people that will lay down their life and do suicide bombings and stuff just for rules and regulations and stuff. But that doesn't even compare with what we have. If true Christianity was making it all about relationship instead of just rules and regulations, people would be drawn to that. People are looking for a relationship with a God that they know exists. They just don't know how to get there. And they're tired of all the rules and regulations, the condemnation, the guilt, and all this kind of stuff. But man, if you could reveal a personal relationship, people will be drawn towards that. And that's what the first century church did. And I'm telling you, this is one of the reasons that so many people who are claiming the name of Christ still look like they've been sucking on prunes. I mean, they just don't have any joy in their life at all. It's because they don't have this personal relationship. They've got rules and regulations, doctrines and creeds, but they don't have a relationship. If what you are operating under doesn't bring you closer to the Lord, then I don't believe it's the true gospel. You know, one of the greatest compliments that I get is, and this is a common statement by people that I see interviews that our TV department does with, as well as our Bible college students, the number one thing that people will say is that since I've come here, I have just fallen in love with the Lord, that I have a personal relationship, that, man, I know God in a way I didn't. And, you know, to me, that is awesome. If people truly get into relationship with the Lord, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will guide them and lead them in the right direction to go. We can't teach enough rules. We can't give specific direction for every single person that will apply to everything that they're going to deal with. But if we can introduce them to the Lord and an intimacy with God through the person of the Holy Spirit, then I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will teach them everything else that they need to know. And see, this is what Paul was talking about in verse 10, Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. I'm telling you, that's what caused such great evangelism in the first century. They didn't have the television, all the technology. They didn't have bumper stickers that they put on the camels as they were going across the desert. But they had a personal relationship. I'm telling you, if you have the fire of God living on the inside of you, if you know God, if you catch on fire for God, the world will come and watch you burn. But the world is just tired of rules and regulations. Everybody's got their own doctrines. But man, people will be drawn towards somebody who has a personal relationship with God. Again, I could just continue to minister about this because this is really missing in most religion today, even most Christian, quote-unquote religion, is just preaching rules and regulations. And like I said, people go through life not even knowing what God's will for their life is, when it's a command in Ephesians chapter 5, don't be ignorant, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It tells you very clearly how to hear from God, how to know His will. And yet most people just don't take advantage of this. We don't have this intimacy with the Lord. We don't listen to the Holy Spirit the way we should. And because of it, the average person, even the average Christian, is like a blind man just walking along, and it's just a matter of time till you trip and fall off a cliff, do something. Because I guarantee you, there's a lot of dangerous things out there. We need to get our eyes open. We need to know what the will of the Lord is. It comes through knowing Him. Let me go on down in verse 13. Here's another secret that Paul gave us about how he was able to operate in a joy and in a happiness even when he was in prison. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know, another thing that you're going to have to do if you're going to really operate in the true joy and the happiness and the peace that God wants us to have, you're going to have to be able to put things behind you. You're going to have to forget the things that are behind, and you're going to have to put a goal in front of you that just consumes you. You have to have something to live for, and you have to have things that you have forsaken and turned away from. You know, I've often heard people take this, that you're just supposed to totally forget all of the past. I don't believe that that's true at all. There are scriptures where we were commanded to make monuments. Matter of fact, all of the feast days that were required in the Old Testament, it was for the purpose of causing you to remember, to remember the day that, you know, the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and the firstborn were slain. To remember and not forget all of these things, the Passover, all of this. God commanded us to remember. In Psalms 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." So I've heard people take this verse and say, we're just supposed to forget everything in the past. No, you're supposed to remember the good. You're supposed to remember the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. Peter even said over in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, "I stir your pure minds up through putting you in way of remembrance." Memory is a powerful force. And so I don't believe that we are supposed to forget the good things of God. We aren't supposed to forget, you know, people that have been kind to us. We're supposed to be kind and remember that and be gracious to people and all of this. But this is specifically talking about forgetting all of your own accomplishments, when you were in the flesh, when you have done things wrong, and also getting rid of all of that condemnation. You don't live under the condemnation and the guilt of things that you've done in the past. And I believe that Paul was uniquely qualified to say this because, again, some of you may not know this or you may forget, but Paul is a person who persecuted Christians and he arrested them and he beat them and he even gave his consent against their death and he saw Christians put to death in the name of the Lord. He persecuted the very followers that he later became a part of. And I can just imagine that Paul had a lot of guilt about this. It's possible that as he traveled and preached the gospel, that he actually came across some of the family members that were left after he had killed their father, their mother, their brother, their sister, husband or wife. Can you imagine the guilt that he probably had to deal with? And I believe that this is what he's talking about. He had to put his past behind him. He had been very zealous, and at one time he thought he was doing the right thing, but boy, he had done serious, serious things wrong. Just go back to the 7th chapter of the book of Acts and watch where Stephen, the first martyr of the church, was put to death, and Saul consented and actually held the coats of the people who stoned him to death. Saul stood there and saw Stephen die, saw life go out of him, a person who literally, in a sense, became one of the tools that God used to reach the Apostle Paul. When the Lord appeared unto him, he says, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." And I believe that the first time God pricked his heart and convicted him is as he watched Stephen, this godly man, stand and be stoned to death. And he stood there and said, "Father, lay not this sin to their charge." And he saw the heavens open and he saw Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. In every instance we have in the New Testament, Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand, showing that His work is over. He's not working and doing things. He's now accomplished it. It's finished. He's seated at the Father's right hand. But when Stephen saw Him, he was standing. And I believe that it's Jesus honoring the very first person who gave their life for the cause of Jesus. And He honored him. And Stephen gave this tremendous testimony and spoke these things forth. And boy, it pricked the heart of Saul. Can you imagine after he was converted and became the Apostle Paul? Can you imagine that that probably came back to him? It's possible that he had dreams and remembered what he had done to Stephen, multiplied thousands of times over to all of the other people that he persecuted. And I believe that these are the kind of things that he was talking about, that he had to forget that. He probably didn't forget the positive testimony of Stephen. He probably remembered that and glorified God for that, but he had to literally forget and recognize that that was another person, that he had become a new person in Christ. Paul is one that wrote that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I believe that Paul had to make a deliberate effort to distance himself and say, "That's not me. That's not me anymore." He had to forget that. He had to see himself in a new way. You know, I haven't done what the Apostle Paul did, but before I got really turned on to the Lord, man, I just was an introvert. I had all kinds of fears. I felt like I couldn't do anything right. And I had a persona, an image of myself and things that just paralyzed me. And when I got turned on to the Lord, when I had this experience and when God called me to preach, did you know I had to deliberately say, that's not me anymore. That's not who I am. I had to find a new identity in Christ. And today I'm now ministering to millions and millions of people watching this television program. We have over 3 billion people on this planet that can watch this program on a daily basis on television outlets. That's not including the internet. Those are television programs that people can watch. Did you know that this is just totally, totally outside of what's normal, what is comfortable for me? I was an introvert, couldn't look at a person in the face and talk to them. God changed me and called me to do something that I couldn't do. And I have had to intentionally deny my self-desires, my feelings that I feel in myself, and forget that and say, I'm a new person. I can do what God told me to do. Some of you have heard me talk about that in 2002, even after I'd been in the ministry for 32 years or 34 years, I guess. The Lord spoke to me and told me that I was limiting Him by my small thinking, and I had to, again, change. And I had to say that I am not going to think this way anymore, and I had to forget this and forget the way that I had lived for 50-something years. And I just had to start being different. I believe that this is what Paul is talking about. And if you're going to experience the joy and the happiness that God wants you to, you're going to have to become a new person in Christ Jesus through making Jesus your personal Lord. If you've already been born again, then you're going to have to renew your mind and you're going to have to find your new identity, this new person that you are in Christ. And you're going to have to start standing in Christ and you are going to have to quit being just, you know, Joe Blow and Jane Doe's daughter or son, and you're going to have to quit letting the way that it's been for generations in your family dominate you, and you're going to have to find your new identity in Christ and forget these other things that have been limiting you and that have been holding back the power of God in your life. There are things that you need to forget. And in the same way that it takes effort to remember, it takes effort to forget. But you can do it. You know, I'm not a perfect example on this. I still am in the process of renewing my mind, but I have just chosen to forget people who have done things to me. I had this one guy who accused me of stealing money, committing adultery, doing dope, getting drunk. He lied about me, did all this. I confronted him, and yet the next week I went by his business. I stopped to talk to him, and I had forgotten the confrontation that we had had. I'd forgotten the things that he had been doing because I forgave him. And I can forget. I have a supernatural ability to forget and to not hold things against people because I believe that that's the way that God wants us to be. And so you can learn to forget. You can learn to forgive other people and forget the things that they've done. You can learn to forgive yourself and forget all of these things and recognize you're now a new person in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, just like the Apostle Paul, if you're going to truly walk in happiness and have the joy that he had even in prison, you're going to have to forget the things that are behind, the bad things. Remember only the good things, and you're going to have to put a goal in front of you and press towards that mark.
The friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries not only support the worldwide broadcast of Gospel Truth Television, a portion of their gifts are used to support more than 20 other ministries around the world. Ministries like Redeeming Love, a privately funded outreach to orphans in the Congo. Founded by Julie Mapitano, a graduate of Caris Bible College, Colorado.
Coming to Caris was really a dream for us because we didn't know who we were in Christ. We didn't know the unconditional love of Christ for us. But knowing that we wanted to go back home to our own people, to share the gospel to them, to share the unconditional love of God to them. So our dream was like, go back home and be able to tell other people the good news. The name of the ministry is Redeeming Love, Dear Congo. We help kids who orphans to be able to go to school. We help single moms and the kids to be able to get something to eat. So we pay tuition, we pay uniform, medical, and food for the family. And knowing who I am in Christ changed my life completely. Knowing that I'm loved by Him changed my life completely. And even my children, knowing they have God's favor in their lives, really helps them to be wiser, to be smarter, and that's all due to Charis Bible College.
Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College, changing lives and changing the world for 20 years. Go to charisbiblecollege.org for more information.
I'd like to ask you to seriously pray about becoming a partner with us and helping us accomplish what God has laid on my heart. Many of you know that we are building this Charis Bible College campus, and it's a mega million-dollar campus that is going to accommodate thousands of people being discipled. But we're also expanding our television outreach. We've added some major networks, and we pay millions of dollars per month in just television and radio airtime. So I'm believing God for 10,000 new partners to get this done. That's really not that big of a deal when there are millions of people watching this program right now. So I ask you to pray about it, and if the Lord leads you, join us and become one of these 10,000 new partners.
Call, write, or go to awmi.net today to become one of Andrew's 10,000 new partners and invest in discipling people worldwide through television and Charis Bible College. Andrew's teaching titled, Paul's Secrets to Happiness, is available on either CD or DVD as seen on TV. Or if you prefer, you can get the live DVD that was recorded at a Gospel Truth seminar. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on today's TV offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The third audio teaching in today's series is titled Paul's Secrets to Happiness Part 3. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Lessons from David for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember, you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.